Michael, how are you today?
Hey, good guys. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. We're just talking, and Stu is laughing like, no, I'm too busy scoring goals. I never played D. Were you always a defenseman?
No, I was actually a forward till I was probably, I want to say around 12 years old. And then my dad actually put me back on defense because, you know, the strength of my game was my vision and, you know, outlet passing. So clearly it worked out for me, but yeah. I think every kid when they're want to be a four and wants all the glory and to score goals, but as you get older you realize the guys that have a brain are the ones that play defense.
Over to you, Stewie, for comment.
How's it going, Pinchy? How are you?
Pinchy, good buddy. I miss you, man. How you been?
I'm good, buddy. Thanks for asking. We had Maddie Nichols on Monday, just talking about the return to play protocol. And I said, you know, what makes Maddie different than everyone else? He cares about the players individually, and he goes above the call of duty to make sure they're not ready just physically, but mentally as well. So how has your experience been with, you know, the great Matt Nichol?
Yeah, I've been with him, I want to say close, probably 5 years now. And the thing with Maddie, you know, there's tons of strength coaches out there, and a lot of them are well-educated and great at what they do. But the thing with Maddie that it's just exactly like you said, makes him different and unique, is he cares about his players. It's not just putting a program together and then giving it to them and letting them go and doing it. For me especially, I go to Maddie about anything. If I need advice on anything, not just strength, nutrition, conditioning, but just life advice, I can give him a call and know he's going to be there for me. So he's been huge for me mentally, away from the game. And there's always one saying that'll stick with me, because when I was younger, I used to overtrain, and Maddie's really helped me with not overtraining, but working hard, but working appropriately and working smart. And he'd always say, you know, if you're can be hammering the gas pedal, but if there's nothing in the tank, you're not going to go anywhere. So that's one line that's always stuck with me. With him, you know, treatment and recovery is also big as well. And I was never really into that until I started training with him.
With Michael Delzato, Anaheim Ducks defenseman, talking about Matt Nichol. Really quick, before we turn it over to Justin Bourne here, as we documented on Monday, Michael, trap bar was Stewie's forte. He was the king in Maddie's gym at trap bar. What is your specialty?
Well, how much time do you guys have for me to go on?
Oh, easy, easy. grenade holds is not a real exercise.
Yeah, buddy, any max time thing was for me, or any core exercise. The heavy lifting, Stewie definitely was the trap bar king. And then as far as providing the music too, I mean, I'm top of the list. I used to get the boys going, especially Friday.
That is true.
Friday, that is true. Circuit. For anyone who's never been around, and I'd love for, been talking to Maddie about getting it out there to allow people to see the culture that he's created in that little gym at the back of St. Mike's, that little dungeon we have there. It's not about the bells and whistles. It's about the people that are in there, the culture that he's created. And you go in there, you put your work boots on, and you know you're there to work. So on Fridays when we have our circuits, we have the music blasting, you know, 20-plus guys just grinding in there. It's hot, sweating. To me, there's nothing more enjoyable than being with a bunch of your buddies and you're just grinding it out on a Friday before being able to enjoy your weekend.
Justin?
Just looking at your career, like if I were to be fortunate enough to play in the NHL, which I wasn't because I was bad, I would be like, I would like to play in New York City, Philadelphia, Nashville, Vancouver, I don't know, California. Like, you've played in some pretty fantastic cities. How does that affect your, like, how much are you able to appreciate those cities in the midst of an NHL season? I know it's busy and you're constantly traveling. Are you able to have time to get to experience those cities?
Yeah, I've definitely been fortunate of playing in some amazing places, but also unfortunate that a lot of them are pretty high in the tax bracket. So it's definitely hurt the wallet
right.
A little bit. But it's been great. Each place has been unique in its own areas. I've had some amazing teammates, met some amazing friends away from the rink. For me, I've pretty much been single my whole career, so I've enjoyed the downtime away from the rink. You know, most guys will go home and have to spend time with their family. For me, I'm going back and have a lot of free time. So, for example, you know, in New York when I was there, you'd get to enjoy Fashion Week, courtside at Knicks games, going to baseball games, other sporting fashion events, new restaurant openings. There's so much there. This year in California, I'm golfing 2 to 3 days a week. Typically after practice, I'm right to the course, or I go to the beach, I go home and cook and go to bed. So depending on where you are, it's just adapting to the lifestyle in that city. But I've been, as you said, been pretty fortunate to enjoy some great cities, some great hockey markets. We'll see what's next on the list for me.
With Michael Delzato, outside of hockey, what's your sport?
Soccer was my sport growing up. I pretty much play anything and everything. I love sports. I love anything to do with competition. Beating buddies, having bragging rights. Pinchy over there hasn't come over to my backyard yet, but a lot of the guys in the summer come by my backyard and we have the Olympics. So I got, like cornhole, ladder toss, basketball, spike ball. We get all the games going and, people know it's definitely home court advantage here. I don't lose.
What's your favorite, like, other than hockey then, what's your favorite sport to watch? Like, if you're just chilling and something's on, what's the sport that you're watching on TV?
I don't watch a ton of TV at all. If I do watch TV, it's sports. So like a Sunday golf event, like a major tournament. Playoff baseball to me is awesome. Yep. Because it's just every single, like most playoff sports, everything is just under a microscope and could be the difference between winning and losing, but so much more in baseball with one pitch. So I do enjoy baseball, playoff basketball as well. I'm not a huge basketball guy just because you typically know with the luxury tax, and same with baseball, you typically know what teams are going to be there at come playoff time. So I typically wait till playoffs to watch.
Stewie.
Okay, I'm going to take one more dig at you before I give you a compliment. I was talking to a former London Knight teammate, T. Tarasuk, and I asked him, how does a team with 4 first-rounders and 4 second-rounders not win the Mem Cup? And you guys had yourself, Nazem Kadri, you had John Tavares, you had Phil Veroni, you had Zach Ronaldo. How'd you guys not win? What happened?
John Carlson, who probably should win the
John Carlson, yes, excuse me.
We had an unbelievable team, but Windsor had an unbelievable team too. We lost to them 4-1, and if I remember correctly, all 5 games went to overtime. So that was some of the best hockey that I've ever been a part of. It was just evenly matched teams. It was incredible hockey, and unfortunately, we didn't come out on the right end of the stick there. But we had a great team, and that playoff run, I was actually partnered with, me and Carl were partners, and we rarely came off the ice, but that was just fun hockey, fun times, unbelievable organization, the London Knights, the way the Hunters run, it's pro style there, and they do such an incredible job, and that's why they're, top of the standings every single year.
Justin.
When you look at your career going forward now, I think you're 29 years old, if I'm not mistaken, what will you prioritize in trying to find your next home? Is it being on a good team somewhere in particular? Is it getting paid? Because let's be honest, you've been in some high tax bracket cities. What will be your priorities this summer?
well, I guess this offseason. Wanting to win.
Coming to Toronto.
I want to win again. Yeah, I know. I know Toronto needs veteran defense, and I know. Well, hopefully Kyle.
Let's go.
But for me, there's so much that goes into free agency, and bouncing around the last few years, being able to call somewhere home would be great. Being able to sign a multi-year deal. This year, unfortunately, being on a team that's rebuilding, but you look at my stats, I had 15 points in, I don't know how many, 49 games, whatever it was. A defenseman who's 24 years old and has that type of year, he's signing a 6-year extension. But all of a sudden, just because I'm 30 years old, it's a different situation. And I'm just not sure. And I know Ace Duke can attest to this. I'm just not sure at what point the league had just decided to go so much younger, where if a guy can play, a guy can play. It doesn't matter what age he is. Cause I know when I came in the league, in New York with the Rangers, I was 19. But it didn't matter if you were 35, 19, making $10 million league minimum. If you deserve to play, you deserve to play. And that's how you breed winning cultures. And that's how you breed these so-called dynasties where they're good teams every single year, because there's no politics involved. It's you're coaching and managing to win. And I'm just not sure where the game has gone that's changed so much.
With Michael Delzato, Stewie brought up the London Knights, and I want to ask you about junior hockey. I mean, you're an outstanding junior hockey player. Why is it that it seems more and more, we've always had this in hockey, but it seems as if, you know, these stories continue to amplify themselves. Why is it that more and more we keep hearing about NHL players that want to buy junior hockey teams? What is that lore? And have you ever been part of a group that's looked at it?
Yes, I have. I've had people who've approached me, something that interests me for sure. Junior hockey, it's hard to explain unless you play it. Just the memories you have, being 16 years old, going to school with all your teammates, and after school you drive together, you go to the rink. You're at the rink, you work out, you practice, you play video games together, you go to bed and you repeat. It's just that camaraderie and brotherhood of being with each other every single day. And it's a lot different than the NHL, because when you get to the NHL, guys have families, guys have other priorities. So you're not together as much. So junior hockey, and you're at that age too, where you're starting to mature and you're developing. You're almost a sponge where you're soaking all these experiences in. And I actually golfed last week with one of my roommates in junior, and I don't get to see him much. He lives up in the Sudbury area now, and it's amazing the stories I remember, but some of the guys who don't make it to the next level, it's amazing to hear them relive the stories from junior, and they're the best moments that they've had today. So it's really hard to explain unless you've gone through it. And again, I know Ace Duke can attest to it. It's tough to put into words, but just to have that camaraderie and that brotherhood of being with each other all day, every day is something you don't get in life.
Stewie, agree or disagree? And when are you buying Kingston from the Springers?
Okay, don't say that. Ziggy got already shut down. So Ziggy said he was in on a group, but no, I honestly agree. Junior hockey, all my good friends to this day are, you know, from junior hockey, and it's a time of your life where you'll never forget. All my, you know, next to having kids and getting married, my junior career was probably the most fun of my life. So I just wanted to ask, you know, with Deli right now, he was probably, you know, the most fit guy overall in the gym. And I think that's why teams have reached out to him, because he's always in shape. And he's a guy right now that I believe, you know, if Anaheim was in it, he could step in and play right away. He's that in shape 24/7. But another guy that, you know, is right next to him in the fitness standing is Tyler Seguin. And people think, you know, because they're superstars, they don't work hard. Segs is one of those guys where he's a beast in the gym. How is it having him being your workout partner?
Yeah, he's incredible. He could be out of the gym for a week. And the thing with him being a superstar, he's got so many other things going on, you know, photo shoots here and there in the summertime, you know, different endorsement deals and sponsorships. And he could be out of the gym for a week or two and come back in, and he's the strongest guy there. So he's a genetic freak. But what people don't realize about him too is how hard he does work for a guy who scores, you know, 20, 30 goals every single season and is, you know, making 10 plus million or whatever it is. You know, he hasn't taken his foot off the gas pedal. I know, you know, he hasn't had the year he wanted this year, but, you know, no one's harder on himself than he is, and I know that for a fact.
Borny?
How do you feel, you know, as your career has gone on? So you've been in the NHL for a long time now. How do you feel like you've changed as a person? We were talking with Stewie earlier today, and he was saying, like, you know, from when he first got into the NHL to the guy he feels he is today, like that maturity and that growth, he kind of looks at the world differently. Daryl Sador mentioned, you know, sort of the changes that happened throughout an NHL career. How have you experienced that sort of personal growth over the length of your career?
Yeah, I've definitely grown up and matured quite a bit. There's a few areas, you know, for me now being in that mentorship role, that's one thing I truly do cherish is, you know, bringing young guys in and having guys over for dinner and trying to teach them how to be a pro every single day. So there's lots of different areas, and kind of earlier on in my career, I love the game. I watch hockey every single night. I would study it. And now as I've gotten older, it's not to say I've lost the love of the game, but I've come to appreciate other things in life and realize that, you know what, hockey isn't going to be there the rest of your life, and there is going to come an end to it. You realize you can't play till you're 50, 60 years old. So I've come to appreciate other things. I have other hobbies and passions now. I DJ, I love cooking, very involved with different charities. I play the saxophone, you know, I have these different things that I enjoy doing. And what I've found, it's actually made me appreciate the game that much more. And it's allowed me to be more efficient at the rink too, because when I go in and say, I do have a tough day, I can leave and go home and find other ways to occupy my mind and not let the game come home with me.
You know, that sounds like a TV show right there. The hobbies that you just described, I'm imagining that as a TV show, and that's a pretty interesting one.
Those steaks are looking kind of small on the grill, though, on Instagram. I'll tell you that, Deli.
I can't eat as much anymore, boys. Without going to the rink in the morning, skating, burning it off, I'm cutting the calories. I'm eating basically a meal and a half a day. It's unbelievable. But it's cool season now, so I got to make sure I'm looking good. I got the pinchy bathing suit on, Stewie, as you know. Got to make sure I'm looking good.
With Michael Delzato. I want to ask about a couple of Anaheim Ducks defensemen. I want to get your thoughts on Cam Fowler. I remember the first time a scout, before he started with the Windsor Spitfires, one scout said, "You got to see this guy. He skates like Scott Niedermeyer." And I said, yeah, okay, whatever. And then I saw him with the Spits. I'm like, wow, he looks like Scott Niedermeyer. And the other I want to get your thoughts on is someone who I've always maintained, you know, might be the most underrated defenseman in the NHL, and that's Hampus Lindholm. Give us Michael Delzato's scout's eye on these two players.
So Cam Fowler, I had the privilege to play with more so last season when I got traded to Anaheim from Vancouver, and I said it then, and I said it this year even when I got the opportunity to play with him again. Probably the best defense partner I've played with. Just sees the ice so well, thinks the game at a different level. And we just had that chemistry where we thought the game at the same pace, so we didn't always have to communicate. We knew where each other would be. And anytime you have that in a defense partner, it just allows the game to come to you and you're not chasing it, and it makes it that much easier to play. So he's an incredible player and one of the nicest human beings that you will meet. And then Hampus Lindholm, when his game is on, and it's tough in an 82-game season, you're not going to play great every single night, but when his game is on, you know, he's definitely up there in the league as far as top defenseman. He can skate, he can pass the puck, he can shoot. He's got all the tools, and it's impressive to watch. When his game is on, he can take over a game.
All right, we'll conclude on this one. Funniest roommate you've ever had in hockey, who is it?
Funniest roommate? That's tough because there's some guys that I'd say are the funniest guys that I didn't. Oh, you know what? I'll go Matt Zuccarello. We weren't
really?
Roommates, but we traveled together. So technically we were roommates at some point. We went to Ibiza together in, I don't know what year that would have been, when we were 20. I was 22 or so.
Tell us more.
We had a pretty good time.
Ibiza stories are great. Let's go. There. Come on. We got some time.
You're saving it for chicklets.
Yeah, I've played with some funny players. Dan Girardi has got to be one of the funniest. Again, not a roommate, but one of the funniest guys. Just a very... very, very dry sense of humor, and he doesn't really show that a ton in the media, so you guys wouldn't really know that about him. So those, to me, are the funniest guys, where, you know, they kind of keep it to themselves and they keep it in the room. But there's I've played with lots of Ryan Callahan would be another one in my New York days. Scott Laughton is definitely up there. I played with him in Philly for numerous years, and he's one of those guys that doesn't matter what mood you're in, if you need a laugh, he's the guy to go to, and he's going to provide that 20. I actually golfed with him this morning, and he's going to provide laughter for you 24/7. He's up there for me.
Okay, I
changed quickly,
my thought.
Can I just
then.
Can we let him plug his D, again? People say they're DJs, but actually Deli actually goes out and performs in public. So tell us about your DJing. Where can we find it?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great, and now with this time off and the unfortunate circumstances we're in, it's allowed me to dive in a little bit deeper into some of my other passions and hobbies, and DJing being probably the biggest one right now. So I've been DJing Friday nights, doing live sets on my own Instagram. The last few weeks I've gone on Spit and Chicklets. I'm not sure when I'm going to do this week again, but I'm using that platform to hopefully bring smiles or get people dancing to, because everyone is home now and obviously going through a tough time. And that's one thing I've learned with DJing in these different venues. You know, I've been to Miami, Montreal, Toronto. Music is an international language. So if I'm able to put a smile on someone's face or cheer up their day while we're through this tough time, then I think I've done my job. So on my Twitter and Instagram bio, there's a link in there. And same with my SoundCloud, which is DJ MDZ. And I'm raising money for the local food bank here in Etobicoke, Daily Bread Food Bank, where I've also been volunteering. So all the donations are going there, and trying to help out during these crazy times.
You're one of the good ones, and I changed my idea. Now I do want to see the Michael Delzato and Matt Zuccarello in Ibiza show. That to me would be full value. Listen, thanks so much for stopping by. Be safe, be well, enjoy whatever becomes of this summer, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks so much for doing this.
Okay. Thanks for having me, guys. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.